Welcome to the Belfast Men's Health Group podcast with Naomi Thompson. Naomi is a world authority on smoking and vaping and has been helping smokers quit for more than 20 years. But before that, we're going to talk to Naomi about smoking. But before that, Naomi, you're very welcome. Thanks very much for agreeing to do our podcast. Tell us a wee bit about yourself.
So, like Paula said, my name is Naomi. I have been working with Cancer Focus for nearly 23 years now. I trained originally as a nurse in Edinburgh. And of course, after qualifying, I thought, oh, I'll come back home, come back to Northern Ireland, and no nursing jobs in Northern Ireland at that stage. What a different world.
Oh, without a doubt.
At that point, I thought, well, what do I really want to do? So then moved into health promotion and did my postgraduate diploma in health promotion, worked within the statutory side, worked in the voluntary side, taught in further education. So a wee bit of a mixture of a professional background. But about me... born in Scotland, which people don't necessarily know.
No, I didn't know that.
That's you new. Didn't know that?
No.
And then was brought up in Northern Ireland, and I had a dad from Derry and a mum from Dublin.
Wow.
So a wee bit of a mixture there too.
Right. Well, I didn't know that. I thought you were always from Antrim.
Well, I have lived the majority of my life in Antrim, on and off, but in Scotland in between.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So, and when you were growing up, any mentors, heroes, anybody that sort of stands out for you?
Not so much when growing up, but whenever I studied in Edinburgh, we had a professor of nursing, and she was this lovely, calm person who, although was really, really busy, you could tell she was really busy, like plenty to do in her job, yet when she came in to do a session, she just had this lovely personality. She really cared about you, even though you were nothing really to her. You know, you were part of her course, but she just really taught you to take time with people and just be there for people. And I think that certainly inspired me with regard to thinking about how you can be with people, and that being calm, which is more my side of things. I would be more calm and things, but she just was so good from that perspective. Mm-hmm. So that would be one side. The other side is whenever you start thinking back about like your parents, for example. I think of my dad. Like, my dad left school when he was 13. Wow. He was of that age group when you left school at 13. Had no opportunity to grow up and go to university, do any of those kind of things. Because, like, there were four boys and a two up, two down, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and yet, like, he was virtually retired and he thought, I'm going to buy a house now. So the house I live in now currently in Antrim, he bought when he was virtually retired and got a mortgage at that stage in his life. Do you know? And yet that's what he was aspiring to. Mm-hmm. You know, he was leaving that sort of legacy behind, do you know? But yeah, there's a couple of...
And then coming back from Edinburgh, haven't had a nursing, no jobs, and then in Cancer Focus for 22 years.
Mm-hmm.
What's Cancer Focus like, I suppose? I mean, I know it from the smoking end.
Aye.
But your Cancer Focus is much more than just smoking.
Yeah, Cancer Focus, like, I've been in cancer prevention, so we don't just do smoking, we do all the other really popular topics like weight, exercise, diet, alcohol, sun, even in Northern Ireland, you know, things that people just love to hear us coming and talking to them about. But Cancer Focus always was a group of really like-minded, caring individuals really wanted to get the message out there when it wasn't necessarily getting out there. I think the world has changed a bit in health promotion, but at that stage, cancer prevention wasn't really thought about. You know, nobody was thinking prevention. So, no, Cancer Focus was a great place. And because we had both then really knowledgeable people in cancer prevention, you know, if I think of Jerry, my past boss, who's been around the world of stop smoking and other advocacy issues for many years before me.
And it used to be Ulster Cancer Foundation.
Absolutely. And then also then the care services side of things, you know, where we have got those people who are there when people are going through their cancer journey, whether it's through counselling, whether it's through, you know, that even our bra fitting service, the various therapies, you know, it's all available to people and it's all local. And people have time. And I think that's really important that people have time. So certainly it's been quite a 23 years. Yeah.
Without a doubt. And how long has Cancer Focus gone?
Over 50 years. So we had our 50th just before COVID. And then,
It is amazing. And then getting sort of drilling down into the smoking and vaping now.
Yep.
Now, I know I've got to talk a wee bit about vaping.
Okay.
Tell us a wee bit about vaping, first of all. What is it, essentially, for those that maybe don't know about it? Because there's literally hundreds of vapes or e-cigarettes or that type of mechanism out there.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about that.
Well, an e-cigarette or a vape basically is a device that has a battery that heats a liquid. And that's the one big difference. You don't smoke an e-cig or a vape. It is a vapor. There's no tobacco in it. So the liquid, in general, most of the liquids on sale in Northern Ireland have nicotine in them, plus a flavouring. So it's multiplied in its use. And I will say it's a bit complex because it's still very young. We're talking about we've had them just about 10 years or just over 10 years. And that's not really long enough to know if there's going to be any long-term issues with them. And there's probably two sides to the vaping story, basically. You know, for the smoker who has tried absolutely everything to quit, a vape may be the next stage that helps if it's used in the short term. I think one of the biggest downsides we see is that people have a vape in their hand and it's constantly in their hand and they would be using it when they wouldn't normally use, have a cigarette or have or be smoking. So it's a constant use and therefore they're actually probably keeping themselves well addicted to the nicotine because of that constant use. So that probably is our biggest concern for smokers, that they move on to it without a plan to come off it. Plus the fact that they don't really know what they're using either, you know, liquid strengths and the like, not always. But then, of course, the other side of the vaping story is our young people who are starting on vapes. They never smoked tobacco. And really, from what we're now hearing, is their lungs are not coping very well with the vapes. And again, the young people have no idea what they're using because the standard disposable that they're using, which should have no more than 600 puffs in it. If it's got more than 600, it's an illegal vape that's out there and there's many out there. But those disposable ones, one of those is equivalent to a pack of cigarettes.
Right.
And most of them have, the disposables are 20 milligrams, which is what we would use with a heavy smoker. Do you know, so really our young people are starting on a level of nicotine that we wouldn't expect a young person to be using.
And I suppose, is there an age? Is there a legal age to buy?
There's a legal age to sell of 18, yes. Okay. So nobody under 18 should be being sold an e-cig. Now, of course, it's not just the shops or corner shops or whatever is the mm-hmm. issue. Actually, you can go on the internet and all you have to do is click a button to say I'm over 18. So it's not complicated to get. Right. But we also know actually parents are buying e-cigs and, you know, they're buying them and thinking, oh, it's just a wee device, you know, oh, everyone's doing it. Sure, why? What's the issue? Oh, sure, that green one matches your outfit. That'll be nice, you know, and those are the things we're hearing. And yet the young people, when we start talking to them and say, well, can you stop it?
Mm-hmm.
And they actually are finding it very difficult to stop because the nicotine's already got them.
Yeah. I suppose, I'm not sure you can answer this, but I'll fire it out, you know, Naomi.
Okay.
Is it a gateway to cigarettes? Is there any evidence on that?
The evidence is still a bit mixed that. That some of the studies are saying, yes, it is, and you're probably about three times more likely to become a tobacco smoker within a year if you start on an e-cig. And certainly anecdotally, we've got stories of young people who started on the e-cig and then when they go out at the weekend, if their battery runs out on their e-cig and somebody's got a cigarette, it's easy, you know, to move over as such. But there's also evidence that says that a tobacco user moves on to an e-cig too, so for young people. So it's a wee bit unknown.
Mm. As you said, it's 10 or 12 years in the mix. That's really young.
Yeah.
And is there... England slightly have different laws than Northern Ireland, and is that complicating things? Or I suppose, we've got... England or the PHA in England are saying they're okay.
Yeah.
I suppose. And then our PHA here are saying, well, no, it's not. So it's a bit of a mixed bag across the UK.
And especially when the media picks up on the English version.
Mm.
And yes, they are safer than smoking.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But like smoking's really not safe. You know, smoking kills one in two people that use it. So, you know, like...
Yeah.
It's not going to be hard to be safer than that, realistically.
Right, right.
So, yes, it's safer and probably better, like we said, for smokers.
Mm-hmm.
But I think because we don't know the long-term implications, I think for young people we definitely should be a bit tighter. Though I would say that the English ash is becoming a wee bit more... splitting the message now,
mm-hmm.
whereas at the beginning it was all very positive, and certainly the government in England are being very positive about pushing the vapes for the smokers, but at the same time thinking that maybe we need to do something around our young people and protecting young people. And I think that's an important one, and probably it was wise to maybe sit in the fence a wee bit and find out whether or not they were going to do harm before you jump.
Yeah, and are tobacco companies behind some e-cigarette products, I suppose?
Yes.
Yeah.
The majority of our disposable market in vaping is actually made by subsidiaries of the tobacco industry. So the tobacco industry have lost their market in tobacco greatly in the Western world, basically. We've done a great job, Paul, and all the work that we've done encouraging our smokers to quit. You know, so that is a real positive. But of course, they're a business. They don't actually mind how they market and who they market to. They just want to make money. So they have moved in. Now they are trying to sell themselves as promoting health and by having these products.
Yes.
But
as I laugh, I know.
Ultimately, you know, there's quite a range of products out there, and I think it's being careful about where you get them. Get them from a reputable source if you are using them. Because realistically, some of them you can't stand over.
And I suppose then the advice is fairly simple. If you're young and you don't smoke, don't start smoking, don't start vaping.
Absolutely.
And if you are a smoker, it's try and stop, try and use a licensed product such as nicotine replacement. And if that hasn't worked for you a number of times, maybe you could try vaping to help. But again, don't be on the vape for years and years and years. Try weeks, if not months.
And get some support. Do you know,
support, of course.
There's loads of support out there. And, you know, within the health service in Northern Ireland, you know, we have such a range of services, whether it's pharmacy, whether it's trust, whether it's through the voluntary sector. And we're all there, you know, and we can support you to come off the vape as well as to come off the cigarettes, you know. So if you've been using it and they're struggling to come off, we certainly can give you good advice. But there's wee simple things people can do. Yeah. You know, like if you're on a device that has a variable mouthpiece, close it up a wee bit, right. Close the air inlet so that you're getting less air through, so you get less of your vapor. So you start weaning yourself down, come down through the liquids. The other thing to be very careful of is look after your device. Now, most smokers do look after their device because they change the coil. But the issue is if you dry puff on the coil, you get metals and you get other chemicals.
Right, now you're talking dry puff. What's a dry puff?
You know, whenever you get to the end of the liquid?
Yes,
whenever the tank is actually virtually empty, so the coil that's in that tank actually kind of burns at that point.
Yep.
And then you're breathing in the metals and you're breathing in the chemicals at that stage. So if you ensure you don't dry puff, if you ensure that your coil is good, you know, there are things that you can do that can already wean you down off and look after yourself and make sure that you use it with the least amount of harm, potentially, hopefully.
Okay. Well, we could talk all day on that subject now. I know you're without a doubt, but I think we'll have to, we'll move on now. So looking after yourself then, your own physical and mental fitness or health, what do you do? Outside of work.
Well, there's no time in work. It's
no
busy
time to
in
work.
Outside of work, I'm now of an age where walking is fine. I certainly will never run anywhere. That is not me. And I know that is Paul. So, but it's definitely not me. But walking is grand. I've done the gym thing in the past and I might go back, but swimming and walking is sufficient. And certainly from a physical perspective, that that kind of keeps me going. But it also links in with another passion that I have, which is photography with the walking. And that definitely is more from the mental health perspective, because if anything, it has taught me to be observant and to be here and now. So now it's maybe not great for the heart because you slow down on the walk whenever you're, because I'm always stopping to see what I can take next.
Okay.
But it means that you are living in this moment and you're watching the world around you. Like, what can you see? What is the next perfect photo? And therefore, it takes you away, you know, and if you're wanting something to move away from your current thoughts and to reduce stress, just taking time. So actually a photographic walk for me isn't a quick half hour, you know. I could stand and watch things for an hour and a half. Other friends just love me going on a walk because of that. But it works for me.
Well, you're very welcome to join us because we, this year's theme for Men's Health Week is, as long as I don't forget now, the picture of health.
Oh, brilliant.
So the picture of health. And we are organising a photo, sort of a photography walk.
Oh.
You're very welcome to join us. I'll tell you more about it. If you check out our website, www.belfastmenshealthgroup.org, you'll get more information on that. But I'll tell you about it. It now, maybe before the close of play. But I think it's just for you could take your camera, but it's for a phone to get the eye thing photographs in front of them. But sure, I'll talk anyway. In a more lighthearted way, your dream job, have you got a dream job or something that you would like to do? If I give you £1 million, what would you do?
Well, I was thinking about this one because I was thinking, now I've been in my current job for 23 years, so it must be half of a dream job to stay in it. But the other thing I wouldn't have minded ever doing was having a coffee shop with proper home baking, but one that, you know, that coffee culture, the sitting, having time, being there, but also then having time with people. So it's not just that you're behind the counter and they're all sitting doing their own thing, but actually that people have time to chat and getting to know people. And I love that.
Well, me and Brian are in right away.
Yeah.
That sounds brilliant.
Because I do love bacon and I do love that side of things as well, you see. So, but having said that, I know it's also really hard work to run a coffee shop, and it's constant, and especially if you're going to do later evenings. I'm more of an evening person. I won't be opening for coffee in the morning for the person going to work. Somebody else can do that.
Okay, and then our last question, and some of this now you've probably answered, I could maybe hazard a guess, but what makes you happy?
What makes me happy are friends and time and photography and my faith and just everything working together. You know, that really puts... That's my life. And that fits together and it makes things work.
Lovely. Well, Naomi, it's been a pleasure and thanks very much for coming down.
Oh, you're welcome.
To, are we?